Well, we like to do things a little differently here, and we're doing it again tonight. We've got some interesting things happening here with computers and software. So it's just kind of a different setup going on. There was no opening music to the show. So I've called in a little help. I don't like asking for help, but when you need help, you gotta ask for some help. There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose, to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
Well, I don't know what you guys were doing, but it took long enough to fix all this. You know, sometimes I think that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and grace, I think sometimes they just sit on their back pockets and just see how long it's going to be before I actually ask for some grace. So tonight, they had to sit and wait for me to ask about 7 minutes. Today's date is the 3rd of February, 2015, and as you just witnessed, there was nothing but grace, and as soon as I turn Jim's microphone on, I'm sure he'll have some comments to make about the what just happened here in the barn. Once again, we're going to really make you think, make you wonder, upset you, get you to really challenge you. that's what it takes. You can only blame organized religion for so much. You can only get so frustrated and feel so misled by people on television and people that stand in front of a pulpit and do absolutely no good whatsoever for productivity or progress. When you boil it down to gravy, it's really your fault. It's your responsibility. If your prayers aren't being answered, if you don't feel good, if you've got dramas and issues in your life, it's your fault. Because we have our own relationships with Christ. And you can only play the victim card once for very shortly, because once you start to acknowledge that there is a God, once you start to acknowledge that there is a Bible, that there is grace, that there is scripture to help you, you're no longer uninformed. You're not ignorant anymore. You can't say, well, I didn't know. Because then the flip side to that is you do know. And if you're not using it, if you're not feeling the positive effects of God's love, well, I'm glad I'm not you. And so tonight we're going to talk about us individually. What's important? How do you prioritize? What's a priority? And to show how unfounded things are. A couple weeks ago, about a month ago, we had a homework assignment that was kind of like a part one and a part two, and last week we compared them. And it basically was write down what you're worried about, what concerns you. And then we waited a couple weeks and we had everybody make a new list. Then we waited a week or two and we said, okay, drag your list out and look at them and see, really, as the weeks have gone by, as time's gone by, how important are these? What was the outcome? Because what do you make of scripture that says, don't worry about the day. Don't worry. Ask and you shall receive. All your sins are forgiven. They sound really great and everybody knows them and everybody quotes them all the time. We use them a lot on Jim's radio show. But frankly, so what? Who cares? How are you applying those? Because there's a lot of things that you can read in the book. There's a lot of things that Jim or I can say. But honestly, who cares? What does it matter if it just goes in one ear and out the other, if you don't apply it, if you don't have results, progress? Who do you blame that on? It's your fault. You're the blame. Whether you're 16 or 116. Because on tonight's show, it's a different type of accountability, a different type of responsibility that we're talking about here. About what exactly is important to you. What's your priorities? Because, Jim, in Scripture, this was really what a lot of Paul's letters were about, was literally saying, Dear John, you used to hang out with Jesus, you saw people healed, you saw blind people see, you saw lepers healed, you saw lame people walk, you saw them walk on water, you saw them turn one loaf into an entire bakery. And so you know there is a God, you know there's grace, but yet you've gone back to your orchards and your fields. You've gone back to your family. You've gone back to run your business. And you're not worshiping anymore. And you're not really taking advantage of your own grace. And you're not really witnessing anymore, grace, what's going on here with Jesus. And I just thought I'd write a letter and ask, what's your problem? Because that was really what Paul was writing about. So when we talk about priorities, what's important and the choices that people make, this really isn't, we're not reinventing the wheel here by any means, are we?
No, it pretty much comes down to looking at the Bible through this particular subject. You can actually see it everywhere, not even just with Paul. But since you mentioned Paul, not only did Paul talk with people like that, and really the greatest portion of Paul's messages were to help people make simple little course corrections that would continue their walk on with God so that they could progress with him. But Paul also, and we'll get to it tonight, he even gave some personal testimonies that were awesome. He threw that in almost all the time. He talked about his experiences and what was going on in his life that showed the commitment that he had. I remember back in 2003. In fact, I was just talking to somebody about this past weekend, and we were sharing about some things that go back to the days where Brother Hagin was alive and some of the things that he was sharing. And I remember in 2003, right before he had gone on to be with the Lord in 2004, he made the comment that he said, one of the greatest needs in the body of Christ is something that they know either little about or nothing at all about: consecration and dedication. And I thought that's real interesting because it kind of goes along with our subject tonight, which is, what is it that you are willing to give up to have more? Because if you feel like you have less of God, that means you have more of something else. If you want more of God, that means you're going to have less. You're going to have less of what it is that's holding you back from more. Because if God's actually available for us in his entirety, I mean the fullness of grace, which is unlimited, and there are no boundaries. You've heard those phrases many times in the last few years. Then the only thing that could hinder that is that we must be having our attentions, our focus, our affections, our time and our energy on something else. So this is a real interesting subject tonight because I think we can find tons of scripture that backs this up all through the Bible. You'll see people that made what you might even call sacrifices so that they could have God in their life. And that's actually where we're headed tonight. So I trust that you'll just kind of strap on your seatbelts. I think this is going to be a real good ride for everyone. I was in, I'm going to try to say this correct now. Menominee. Wisconsin. I messed it up really bad, and the pastor told me after the service, Pastor Paul is a really good guy, he told me after the service, I just let you go on a roll there. I could have corrected you. So here I went ahead in front of everybody and quoted it wrong where I was. But it's a town that's about an hour and a half outside of Minneapolis, and we just had a really wonderful time. Of course, it was freezing cold up there, not as cold as they normally have it. But had a wonderful time and a lot of great things happening. And some of this kind of subject here that we're talking about tonight, I've been talking about in my meetings. And I find people really, if they haven't been listening to the kind of things that we're talking about, I find it really takes them off guard to a little bit of an extent. The fact that they think that maybe they'd have to give up something in this life. People don't want to really give up anything in this life. They want to hold on to everything they've got. They just want to add a little bit of God to it. And BJ, I think that's a prescription for disaster.
It always is. And it's more so in the United States of America than it is other places, but we love entitlements. We believe we deserve a lot. We haven't earned it, and we just feel that it should be handed to us on a silver platter.
Mm-hmm.
And we just take a lot of things for granted that frankly, most of the world doesn't. This is a good place to live. And we just don't understand how most of the world is always fighting tooth and nail for things that we just take for granted. Everything from food, water, to a safe place to sleep. And this kind of floods over into the way we look at God. We just feel that if we're saved, if we've been baptized, if we go somewhere to worship, and we know Scripture, that we should just get everything. Most people don't repent. They Right. don't really know what repenting is.
Right.
They don't really humble themselves. And they still choose the world and the flesh over heaven.
Yeah.
And I like to say they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. In other words, they talk a good game, and they know a lot of Scripture, but yet they're not really putting themselves into a position to tap into God's love that they were born with.
Yeah, yeah.
They're spinning their wheels. They're kidding themselves. And that's actually the largest majority of people that would call themselves a God-fearing Christian person. And they'll argue, and they'll say, well, you're wrong, you don't know. And I'll say, okay, where's grace now?
Right.
Well, what do you mean? Where's grace? What's grace doing at this given moment? Show me grace. Tell me about grace.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll say, what? And I'll say, well, where is it? And they'll say, well, you tell me about grace. And I'll start pointing grace out to them. And if they really have a desire, they'll get real quiet and they'll say, I never looked at it that way. I never thought about it before. Yeah, right. That is grace. Or they'll say, oh, sure, yeah, go ahead and pick that stuff. Or, yeah, okay, fine. And so they kind of plan B it to get themselves out of it.
Right, right.
Well, that's not new. People have been doing that for thousands of years.
Don't you think that, I think back to the Scriptures with David. He had a son, Solomon. Solomon had a son, Absalom. Well, you know, David had a great relationship with God. Solomon did real well in that he chose right. God gave him amazing wisdom, okay? But then by the time it got to Absalom, in other words, things went really well. An empire arose. It even went better with Solomon. But by the time it got to the third generation, things went really south. And it seems like when things start getting real good, it doesn't take but a couple of generations to lose what it took to get it there. And now everyone else in the further generations are just resting on the laurels of those in the past. Well, and they don't seem to have the same character or drive, heart, or I don't know what else you'd call it, to actually sustain something correct.
People used to live a lot longer until Noah's boat ride.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, 40 days and 40 nights of rain, and Noah's putting everything in the ark, two by two, literally was the world's record for toilet flushes. I mean, talk about, let's flush the toilet and start with a fresh, clean bowl.
Right.
That's what rain for 40 days and 40 nights did, was to literally just, let's start over from zero.
Right.
And it was God's way of saying, this isn't working, because after that 40 days and 40 nights of rain, there were no more people living hundreds of years.
Right.
There weren't people having 85 kids anymore. It was a completely different. The lifespans were shorter. Life was a little more, I guess you'd say, less opulent, more normal.
Right, right.
And also more accountability. More accountability to each person to find their own path towards God.
I think that has something to do with it, what we're dealing with right now. And what we're talking about, I think, has a lot to do with some of those things. I mean, you look back at generations. Even let's just go back 50 years. There was so much more of a sense of every individual had to pull their own weight. They had to accomplish what each individual did. There was a seriousness about life. And the good times were still there, but there was a healthier attitude.
When When I was in high school, a lot of kids, when they turned 16, they didn't even get a driver's license. Somebody would say, why don't you have a driver's license? You're 16, you're 17. Well, I don't have anything to drive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a job, so what do I need a driver's license for?
Right.
I listen to kids now a lot, and they just feel that they're 16, they should get a driver's license, they need a car. The world isn't getting better, it's getting progressively worse at a snail's pace, so that it doesn't really come on you. When you're in bed at night and your house is on fire and you barely escape and it burns to the ground and you've lost everything, well, it's a shock to you. But if every day for 10 years something was just a little bit different in your home, you would never notice it. It's right. Kind of like that with weight gain. If you went to bed at 140 pounds and you woke up at 200 pounds, you'd realize, whoa, overnight I gained 60 pounds. But if you gain 60 pounds over 20 years, you don't really notice it because it's such a slow progression that the reality changes subtly. And so you kind of grow into it.
Right, right.
It's that way with people, and it's certainly that way with a relationship with God. You have to do the legitimate steps. You have a responsibility to actually believe, have faith that there is a higher power.
Yeah.
You have to be saved, and saved means realize that you're a human being of flesh and you're living a worldly life that is worthless. It's not going to do anything for you. And so you want to be saved from yourself, from the reality that you know. And then once you're saved from that, you're reborn, which means you are a baby, which means you have to mature and grow into a relationship with Christ and the Word of God. And that you have to repent, which means you have to realize what you thought, the feelings that you had gave you thoughts, and those thoughts gave you ideas, and those ideas put actions in your head, and it really kept you away from the quote-unquote straight path to heaven, to God. And people feel that they can just say the words, I'm saved, I'm reborn, praise Jesus. And then they start quoting scripture, and really, if you put a gun to their head, they'd have nothing to prove that they're saved. If you put a gun to the side of somebody's head and said, okay, prove to me that God's in your life. Prove it. Most people they'd get their brains blown out. They couldn't do it. They'd say, I don't know. Okay, fine, kaboom. Next, you'd run out of ammunition. Because they don't have it. And unfortunately, the majority of the people don't know they don't have it because the people that taught them this, they didn't have it either. It's literally the misinformed teaching the misinformed.
Yeah, I'm looking at some scripture here, and I think this is good over in Romans chapter 8, verse 12. And 13, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And then it goes on, of course, to say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, I take this as a verse tonight that applies to our topic where we're endeavoring to show you here that everyone can have more of God. I think back to Paul's experience over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, where he was saying, Lord, you know, this difficulty, this thorn in the flesh, all these people giving me such a harassment. He prayed three times that it would dissipate or leave. And God's response was, my grace is sufficient. In other words, there's more grace on your life, Paul, than you're using. So when I look at this, what I see here, and I want to convey tonight as we talk, is that every one of us can have more of God. We can have more tangibility. We can have more experiences of God. We can walk in greater joy and greater victory. Come on, you could go right down the line and begin to quote all kinds of things that depict the Christian life. One that is abundant, where fruit is abounding. But in order to do so, Jesus gave up his entire life that we might have the freedom and liberty to experience God. But you almost have to ask yourself the question, what are you giving up? In other words, if you got one hand on the world, that only gives you one hand for God. We've got to let go of the things of life that have prioritized themselves above the experiences with God if we're going to have greater experiences with Him. Sounds like old time revival, where people were revived, where people learned that they were mixing and being integrated with the world to the point where God was no longer important. And a revival happened where their hearts were set on fire, where God was the importance of their life. These are the things that we're sharing tonight and talking about. I think they're really good. We've got a lot more scriptures to go through. But right now, BJ, I'm hoping that on tonight's show with the folks that are listening, we'll get some real good responses. This weekend, I had a chance to see Dave and Barb and their family, their two kids, who are really growing up after the last year and a half or so that I've seen them.
Did you give Dave a big hug?
I did. In fact, Dave reminded me. He said, well, you got something for me. And he saw that I looked at him kind of cross, like I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, BJ's going to ask me. So anyhow, then I remembered. Yes, I gave him a big hug, and I saw
Did you have clean clothes on? I mean, you didn't like have dirty clothes on or anything, did
no,
you?
No, no. I was had my my preaching clothes on, my church clothes on.
Your pasteurizer suit?
Yeah, my pasteurizer suit on. And then I saw the kitchen counter folks.
You know, I thought maybe the kitchen counter people weren't listening anymore because we never hear from
them.
No,
they're great. They're great folks. They really are. It's fun. It's funny to me that we call them what we call them.
Why?
No, I mean, we've got names. Because I'm just thinking that night when I was with the pastor of the church, Pastor Paul, I was telling about Dave and Barb and the kitchen counter folks. He looked at me kind of sideways. I said, well, we name people certain things on the show.
Well, that one came honestly because they'd say, we're at our kitchen counter listening.
I know. I remember. I remember that one.
Yeah. You know, we got business card Bob.
Yeah, we do.
Every time he sends an email, there's a big business card plastered on it.
Yeah, of him in his suit.
Him in his suit, yeah. Him in his Undertaker clothes. I mean, he's not an Undertaker. It just kind of looks like Undertaker
clothes. We got Mulligan, Tim, North Carolina.
Breakfast Ed. And we got the people in Trinidad by Antarctica.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Do you remember Breakfast Ed's son's name? Because he's also a breakfast.
Nick.
Nick. Breakfast Nick.
Yeah, because he clarified us. Because he said, yeah.
It's good.
And then we got the people by Yosemite that the family gets
together
supper and listen.
I forgot
because
that.
Right now here in Oklahoma, it's about 27 minutes to 9, which means it's 27 minutes to 6 out in Yosemite in California.
And then we got a family right here in Tulsa where their kids are listening.
The Weaver kids. Yep, the Weaver kids.
I wonder how many of them are up.
They're probably all up. Yeah. They know where the ranch is. One of them snuck into the ranch under the fence. The 15-year-old boy. He says, can I live with you? He says, I can't handle this anymore.
That's great.
He says, I can't run very far, but I could run away to the ranch because it's only a couple miles. I'll sleep in the barn. I'll sleep with the horses. He says, I just need some peace and quiet. I felt so sorry. And his mom was down at the gate, and she says, have you seen my son? I think he ran away to the ranch. No, he was looking for work.
Yeah.
He was looking for work. I wish he was a little older so he could drive and stuff.
Uh-huh, and then just get here, and he'd be fine.
Well, it's hard to have somebody on a ranch that I can't send to town in a pickup truck or a tractor.
Oh, I gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's not like it used to be.
Run some errands.
Yeah, it used to be you could send anybody to town in a truck, and if they just said, well, I'm farming, I'm ranching, you know, they wouldn't question it.
Right.
Nowadays, they'd send SWAT team out.
Yeah, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and I'd have to bail one of the Weaver kids out of jail.
That wouldn't be good.
No. Speaking of people that listen to the show, this is a good time to send a text message to the show. We like text messages. I don't know what's going on with the texting because somebody said, laugh out loud, I can't believe tonight's text message.
Oh, really? Did Ranger do something again?
Well, Ranger's in charge of texting, obviously. So obviously Ranger's got an inner... See, we don't know what Ranger sends. Because the only way you can read what Ranger is texting is you have to send a text to the barn, and then you get an auto response.
Well, I'm going to send a text right now. I got to remember how to do this.
Well, don't read it out loud. Don't you have something better to do, like a radio show, than texting?
Yeah.
Have you thought about that? I mean, you know, it's a Tuesday night. You just happen to be in the barn.
I was going to text the show.
Why do you have to text the show when you're on the show and it's your show?
I wanted to see what Ranger was saying.
Well, it's really none of your business, is it? It's for the listeners. You're not a listener.
It's my show.
That's right. But it's meant for the listeners.
Okay.
Wow. Aren't you just a snotty little person tonight? It's my show.
Yeah, well, I had to
As you got a cookie in your mouth.
Hey.
Wow. So much for brotherly love from Pasteurizer Huckaday there. Wow. It's my show.
No, I had to make sure that was clear.
If you'd like to swap text messages with my chocolate Labrador Retriever, it's pretty easy to do. The first word that you type is the word grace. And then after you type grace, type the rest of your message. It'll show up on the screen here in the barn. And when you press the send button, there's no one, no area code. It's just five numbers, 69302. If you'd like to send an email to the show, it's the name of somebody's radio show, The Abiding Presence, all one word, no capital letters, no space, The Abiding Presence at the letter G. gmail.com. See, usually I'd say Jim Show, but after you, it's my show.
Well, you know, that would be different if that's actually how I said it. So.
No, that was exactly like you said it.
Yeah, not quite. That's just how you heard it.
You know what?
Interpretation's everything. So,
Somebody will send. We got all kinds of emails here.
Well, good. Let's go on the emails.
Oh, we got a text that says, after hearing BJ's testimony about grace and the wind and garbage 2 days later, I had a similar situation and grace did the same for me. Well, you got to take better care of your garbage. Okay, we got one here. It says, does this mean I have to give up video games and my favorite TV shows? No. Not unless that's all you do. No, I think they're kind of missing the point. We got another email here that says, hey, Jim, BJ, and of course, Ranger, still loving the show, even though it keeps me up past my bedtime. Laugh out loud. I feel like the show is the only place I can really get an real God education. Keep up the good words. This is from Chuck. Oh, you know who this is from? This is from little Chucky Abernathy.
That's right.
Little Chucky Abernathy. In North Carolina.
Yep. Hey, Chuck. Glad you're listening.
He's really big into bikes. You know, he's really big into bikes, which is, well, you know, all kids should be into bikes. So little Chucky Abernathy, he's big into bikes, and, you know, he's got bike memorabilia. You know, he's got shirts and hats and
all kinds
and
of tattoos. And
well, I don't, you know, he's kind of young for tattoos, but, you know, little
Chuck,
little Chucky Abernathy is listening down there. And we got one here. It says, hello, everyone, from Stovetop Sue.
Huh.
I almost said Stovetop Stuffing.
Oh, gosh.
Because I'm kind of hungry. You know what? I saw Stovetop. Hey, Stovetop Stuffing. But Stovetop Sue out in California, she's listening. She didn't tell us what's on the menu tonight. And the reason she's called Stovetop Sue is she's usually cooking during the show. Here he is. And, you know, here it is, right here, came in 4 minutes ago. Business Bob, business card Bob out of New Jersey. Hi, guys. Yes, BJ, I'm here listening. Just got done taking care of a few bodies. Love you guys. Looking forward to tonight's show. Because I said, you know, dress like an undertaker.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good.
Undertaker Bob. No. Business card Bob.
Business card Bob still.
Yeah, it's a good idea there. We got a couple other ones that came in. It says, hey, Ranger, glad you could get the radio show on track. It's amazing what you do on a weekly basis. You know, seriously, what this dog does for me is amazing. Shout out to my son, Nick, on his 27th birthday, who is back at his home in Charleston tonight. Happy birthday to Nick. A great topic tonight. Keep up the great work challenging us on what our priorities are. This is from Breakfast Head. All right, we got another one here that says, BJ, Jim was surprised when... Jim was surprised when I got my bear hug. This weekend was amazing with Jim's teaching. Had a great time, Dave and Barb. So... We're caught up on emails. We got a lot of, and see, we like texts and emails. I think they make the show.
I do too.
And if you want to email the show or text the show and you didn't hear how to do that, if you just go to whatever his name is website, theabidingpresence.com on the contacts page, it'll show you how to reach out to the show. And if we got any new listeners tonight, and this is your first time listening, welcome. We're here live every Tuesday night. Actually, we are in a barn on a ranch.
Yep.
Thousands of bales on the other side of this wall. And you're coming out to cut firewood, right?
I am.
When are you going to do that?
Maybe we'll do Thursday afternoon.
That'd be good. Get both saws running, maybe?
Yep, I think so.
We got what the deal is here at the ranch. I've started a new little... business to help keep the people working on the ranch through the winter months. We're taking different types of trees and cutting them into small little 3-inch chunks for people that cook with wood. Let's see. So far, I've got pecan. I got pecan wood, hickory wood, cherry. I got cherry wood. I got mulberry, and pear.
Pear.
And I've got apple coming.
And peach.
And hopefully peach and persimmon.
Tell them about what you told me about the cherry wood.
We were going crazy. Saturday, we were in the barn, and we had two saws going, and we're cutting up these little pieces. And... I was shoveling, I had a full scoop shovel, aluminum scoop shovel, full of sawdust from cutting up the cherry wood. Mm-hmm. And I buried my nose, and everybody started laughing. I says, hey, come here. And everybody buried their nose in this shovel full of, because it smelled just like a bowl full of cherries.
Oh, that's great.
And you put your nose up to the wood, and it has the hint of cherry.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, mulberry trees are very sweet. When you cut them, sap runs out like water.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, have you ever had mulberries?
I don't think so.
I got a mulberry tree spitting distance from the barn.
Are they a big black?
No, mulberries are small, like the size...
almost of a blueberry?
Yeah, but a little bigger, and they kind of look like a raspberry, you know, one of those bumpy things?
Yeah, I've had them before, I'm sure.
Man, they're really good. I got the tree prunes so we can drive underneath the tree and eat them and not even get off the riding lawnmower.
Okay. Well,
we take a berry break.
Sure.
Folks, we're talking about the priorities.
Yes.
Now... think about this, because when you ask somebody what's important, they say family, job, career, hobby, pets, family, relatives, friends. And that sounds like someone with a good heart, someone that's participating and really doing the responsible things about life. until it comes to your spirit, to your soul. Because we're not talking about favorite television shows. We're not talking about your job and you having the ability to pay the bills and to keep the lights on and a roof over your head and food on the table and clothes on your back. We're really not talking about that. What this radio show is trying to get you to think about is what happens after that.
Sure, that's right.
What happens when the job is gone?
Mm-hmm.
When you're not hungry, you're not thirsty, you're not really aware what's going on because, well, there's no other way to put it, you're deader than a can of corned beef. You're planted 6 feet underground like one of my fence posts in my pasture. You're there for eternity. And now it's where the rubber meets the road. Is it heaven or is it hell? And the choices you make now and the priorities that you have now, I mean like right now, on the 3rd of February 2015, 15 minutes before 9 o'clock Central Time.
Right.
The choices you make now as a child of God, you don't have to wait to be deader than a can of corned beef.
Right.
Because you were born with grace, and grace is just chomping at the bit. It's dying to be part of your day-to-day reality.
Right.
It's painfully sitting on the sideline waiting for you to invite it into your reality to help you.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because there is heaven on earth. It's called a relationship with Christ.
Right.
Did you like that?
I do. And this scripture goes right along with it. We're going to hear a bunch from the Apostle Paul tonight when I share things. But verse 18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I want to read that from the Message Bible too. It says, "That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times." Well, Paul's making a statement here that really, if you boil it all down, I'm going to use one of BJ's statements because I think I've always wanted to use it. When you boil it all down to gravy.
Do you even know what that means?
I do. I totally do.
What does that mean?
Doesn't that mean you're making gravy by taking the drippings of whatever meat you are and you're adding, you're boiling it, and then you're adding some flour to it, and you're stirring it up when you boil it all down to gravy, when you get right to the very heart of the issue. Isn't that what it's saying?
You know what?
What?
That wasn't bad.
Okay.
That was pretty good. Look, you're surprised. You go, okay. No, you know what? Good for you. That wasn't bad.
Thanks. Can I get my name mentioned again on the show?
No, because it's my show. Wow.
That is so distorted. That was so wrong.
No.
It is.
It was. Yeah.
We'll have to play it back. You'll see. There was no wham-wham. It wasn't a little voice like this, okay? So anyhow, let me finish this boiling it down to gravy. Paul's trying to say that to experience God is beyond anything your heart could be attached to in this world, that it makes no sense to hold on to life here and never have experienced God there or
right
with the Lord. You know, Jesus made those comments. Do you remember? We've quoted this many times, and I've got this right here in my notes. But, you know, Jesus quoted this too, where he talked about the hand and the eye and the foot. And it says right here, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. And he talks here, and he finishes each one of those statements by saying, it's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye or one hand or one foot rather than having two and be cast into eternal damnation or fire. Paul's saying right there what we're talking about. And Jesus is saying the same thing right here. It's not worth it to hold on to something so tightly that's here, of the world and the flesh, and miss something that's so relevant and important to your spirit.
The other point about if you're going to steal, cut your hand off, if you're looking at somebody wrongly, poke your eye out, and if you think you're going to say something to hurt somebody, cut your tongue out, The reason they're talking about this is because it has nothing to do with the final act.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to explain that to you. You're in a classroom. You're at work. You're at a grocery store, the mall. You're somewhere, no matter what your age is. And you have made an arrangement, an agreement, whether it's with wedding rings or a promise ring or just telling somebody that you care about them and that you want to be a couple, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, it doesn't matter. You've made a commitment, or at least you've given the impression of that to the other person. What we're talking about here is when you're married and you see somebody that's attractive and you flirt with them and you start thinking about being with them, going out to dinner with them, what your life would be like with them. You see yourself doing things with them, dancing and having fun. And you think to yourself, well, it's just a thought. It isn't like I really did it. You go to the grocery store and you think about stealing something. Something small, a candy bar. You, no one's going to see it. No one's going to know it because it's cold outside. It's winter. And you just stick it in your coat pocket and nobody will know that candy bar is there. You don't actually do it. You just think about it. And then you see how easy it would be to do and what else can you steal and what else could you get away with. But you don't do it. You just think about it. The passage of if you're thinking about saying, if you're thinking about doing, stealing, hurting, talking, looking, what they're talking about is your spirit, your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where people lose a connection with Scripture. You have to realize that the relationship that you are supposed to have with the guys, with Jesus, with God, with the Holy Spirit, with grace, the spirit reality of you is nothing but emotions and thoughts. That's the real you. What's in your mind? What's in your heart? Because what's in your mind and what's in your heart and what you're thinking and feeling will always be the first domino that tips over all the other dominoes that leads to action.
Yeah, it's good.
That's what they're talking about. If you think you're going to steal, cut your hand off. Because the body is temporary. The body is of this world. But if you have these thoughts of theft and you do it, it's preventing you from having a relationship with Christ. So why not cut a hand off that's temporary? Because the body doesn't go to heaven. Your spirit goes to heaven.
Yeah.
And so you've got to think and feel like a child of God. Because when you start to think and feel like a child of God, guess what?
Yeah.
Your actions, your life, your results, the efficiency of your life will be as a child of God. And so if you're on the internet and you've joined a dating site and you put up pictures and a false name and you just do it as, and you say, well, I would never cheat. You are cheating. You're not just cheating on your wife or your boyfriend or your husband. You're cheating on yourself. You're cheating on Christ because you're spending time in a false sense of reality. And so this is what they're talking about poking your eye out and cutting your tongue out. Because think of this. You don't do anything unless you feel or think a certain way. The reason that you usually go to sleep is because you're tired. And you feel that you're tired. You think about being tired, so you go to bed. You eat because you're hungry. You start thinking about food, so you want food. If you're thirsty, you think about something to drink because your body's thirsty. So you think and feel about something to drink. It's the same with stealing, adultery, with lying, with not telling the truth.
Right.
So it's also the same with a relationship with God. It says, we've never had this question before. I would like to know what roles should guns play in Christians' lives? And then it says, enjoy the show always. What role should guns play in Christians' lives, Jim?
I think that's up to an individual. I mean, what role it plays in mine is I'm glad I have some. And I don't mind saying I don't have a problem with getting some more. And I like to hunt, even though I haven't been in a little while. Got a good friend of mine. He's a great duck hunter. Got some wonderful dogs. And so I enjoy that. And I enjoy shooting. And the girls have actually come to really enjoy shooting. So the sport of it, as well as the protection of it. I don't see that there's any problem.
You would think I have a lot of guns, but I don't. I'm not a gun nut, or I don't collect them. To me, a gun is like a hammer or a chainsaw. Nothing takes its place when you need one. You know, you can use a rock or a wrench or something to beat something, but when you want to beat something or pound something, nothing takes the place of a hammer. Yeah. I mean, if you want to cut a piece of wood or knock something down, there's a lot of ways to break a tree branch or something, but nothing takes the place of a chainsaw. And so I feel the same way with weapons, with firearms. To me, they're tools. I don't covet them. I don't collect them. I think that there's nothing wrong with them. And that's a great question because it goes to exactly what we're talking about. You know, there's that old ridiculous saying that guns don't kill people. People kill people. Well, it's really true. Someone who wants to hurt somebody, if they can't get their hands on a gun, they'll use a knife, a cigarette lighter, and a container of charcoal lighter fluid. I mean, if somebody wants to hurt somebody, they'll figure out a way to do it.
Hmm.
And so you can't really blame what someone puts in their hands to hurt someone. And so I think it goes down to the person.
I think it's individual too.
I do too, because I think that a lot more people are hurt by words and by thoughts and actions than they are by guns.
There's
lying, cheating, stealing.
Right.
We got another one here. It says, please check the post office box sometime after Friday. I will do that.
Well, that's cool.
It says, how does Mark 4 seed sower parable fit with ask and you shall receive concerning time frame for answers? Thanks. Read that. Mark 4, seed to sower.
Yeah, well, it just talks. I'll get it. I'll pull it up.
While you're pulling it up, we got an email here that says, Weaver kids listening in their jammies. So the Weaver kids are listening in Bixby, Oklahoma. And then it says, this is kind of a long email here, but Tim, a guy named Tim, is listening to the show. And Tim sent a couple of emails, Jim, I'm going to forward to you because he's got questions he wants to ask you.
Okay.
This guy's talking about some kind of a book or something. It says, what counts? That which is truly given, only that good that is done for the love of doing it. So Tim is sending us some thoughts that he got from a book. So thanks for that for Tim. Remember, folks, there's a lot of time to send emails and text messages to the show. We're talking about the choices that you make, your priorities, what's important to you. Because is it important to your life? Is it important to your spirit, your soul? Because frankly, honestly, folks, very seldom is there a crossover. Is there something that's important to your life that's important to your soul? the majority of the time you're going to find yourself teeter-tottering or looking over one side of the fence to the other as to what's a priority. Did you find that at Mark 4?
Yep. It says, Jesus was telling a parable, and it said, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And he's talking about sowing the word, sowing the truth that comes from God. And it says, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. He who has ears, let him hear. And so that's the parable. Jesus explains it a little further, and I'll read that part of his explanation. And then we can go further here. I'm waiting for it to pop up. Okay. And so, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
In other words, where your priorities are, what's important to you.
Well, it's all about priorities.
What do you value? What's your focus on? What are you concerned about? What are you worried about? What do you think needs to occur? What do you want to occur? What do you desire? All these things really mean the same thing.
Right.
In other words, what are you thinking? Where's your head at?
It's about whether you're all in or whether you're not all in.
Because, you know, you can go to work and not feel good, kind of be sick. You can be at school and look out the window and daydream. You can be watching a television show and be talking on the telephone. You can be talking on your telephone and texting while you're driving. But folks, I am here to tell you, if you want a relationship with Christ, you want to go to heaven, and you want your prayers answered, you cannot multitask. You have to be 100% dedicated, all in.
Right, right. And that's really the purpose of our show tonight, is what is it that seems to monopolize your time or your thoughts? BJ talked about that, about your thoughts, about if your thoughts were of Christ, what would take place? If your thoughts are of the world. Paul's been talking about this. Jesus made comments about this. So this is a real hot topic here, folks. This gets right down into not just the things that you do on a regular basis. Go back a couple steps. What is it that seems to occupy your affections, your will, your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts? Because if something is occupying your time, you have to ask yourself the question, why wouldn't it be worth giving up? BJ, there was
It doesn't have to be something bad either.
No, we're not talking, trying to make people feel there's gross sin in their life or something.
I mean, the biggest distraction I've ever had in my life was 7 days a week, 24 hours of horses.
Right. Right.
I didn't care about people, didn't celebrate holidays, I didn't care whose birthday it was, I didn't care if someone was getting married or getting buried. And by the way, the only difference between a wedding and a funeral is the outcome's the same. Your life is over. It's changed forever.
Their life as they know it is over.
But it was. I was just all about horses.
Right.
And it took me being paralyzed to be a paraplegic before I realized that quite possibly there's other things that are of value than just horses.
There you go. That's what we're really talking about. Now, you remember, BJ, the story of the the guy that was, he had a son, and his son was afflicted with demons, and the demons were of epileptic, so he'd have seizures, and they'd throw him into the fire, they'd throw him into the water and try to destroy this boy's life. And this father brought the boy to the disciples. They tried to cast the devils out, but were unsuccessful. There were all these people that gathered around, and Jesus walks up on this story, and the father comes out and says, can you do something? And Jesus says, can you believe? Because all things are possible to him that believes. And the father says, well, your disciples tried to, but they couldn't get it out. And Jesus says, what a generation. How long shall I bear with you? How long shall I go over this? You have no sense of God, no focus to your lives. And he cast the devil out. Well, afterwards, the disciples got with Jesus, and they said, how come we couldn't cast it out? And in the New King James translation, it says this. This kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, all he was meaning is, when you're at a crossroads and you're not getting an answer, the lifestyle of prayer and fasting is what will get you an answer. And what is fasting but putting something aside? Whether for a moment or forever, putting something aside and then turning the other direction to follow something else. So what's he saying? He's saying put something aside in your life, whatever it is that's causing you to lose your focus on God, and turn your face toward the Lord. That's how you hear the voice of God. That's how you have tangibility, and that's how you'll have success. So it's the same prescription that we're talking about here tonight. Jesus gave it, I think, the best that it could be given. The disciples messed up. They didn't get the answer they should have. And what did he say? If you'll let go of the things that you're focused on and turn your focus toward the Lord or toward God, you'll know what to do to get these devils out or to get your answer.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a real good way of summing up, in a sense, a lot of what we're talking about tonight.
We got a text message that came in. It says, especially good show tonight. You two are really upbeat. Thank you, Dennis and Muriel Mattson, Tampa, Florida, United States of America. We got an email that came in. This is from Florida Ed.
Oh, good.
It says, this is Florida Ed. I'm enjoying the show tonight, listening while on my way to North Carolina. Keep up the good grace work. God bless. How can you listen to an internet show while you're driving? Is that like on a little machine or something?
I guess. Well, yeah, I mean, I can listen to it on my phone. There's the Live 365 app is right here. In fact, I could pull it up and we'd be live right now on my phone.
Really?
Yeah. But
all right, folks. We've been doing this show now, well, actually, for about an hour because we started late. You know, I hate asking for things. I can't stand to pray. But boy, I had two answers tonight, didn't I? In spades and aces before the show started. The things we're talking about tonight, you really need to take them to heart. You really need to sit down and think about who you are and really what is a priority, what's important to you.
That'd be good homework, don't you think?
You know, what happens a lot of times with children is if their grades slip, it's because all of a sudden they're 16 and they do have a driver's license. So they're not doing their homework, they're thinking about cars and driving around. Or what happens a lot of times is when someone is on the swim team or the football or basketball team, their grades kind of slip because they're focused more on the after-school sports than they are their schoolwork. The same thing happens with adults with hobbies. Dad buys a bass boat, and now all of a sudden you can't find him because every moment he's hooked up to the fishing boat, and he's gone fishing. He's not around home anymore. Think about this: a sports team as a kid is being a distraction.
basically we're saying almost could be categorized as sinful. A bass boat going fishing is bad. It sounds crazy. It's not gambling. It's not video games glued your face to a machine 24/7. It's not gorging and overeating. It just seems so normal. What would be wrong with going fishing? What's wrong with being in after-school sports? Well, if it completely consumes you and takes your eye off the ball of who you are, and remember, we're all children of God. And I'm not saying that you have to walk around like some kind of a crazed Bible thumper, Jesus freak, saying, God is good, God is great, amen, you know, just over and over. I mean, you don't want to be that person. But at the same time, think about this. If you want your prayers answered, you want to help others, you want to really see evidence, I mean, honestly, you listen to this show, you read the Bible, and you would really just love to see the same amount of validity in God as you do the neighbor's dog going to the bathroom on your lawn. Sure. You look out your front window and you say, there's a neighbor's dog going to the bathroom on my lawn. I wish I could see Jesus as clearly as that. You can. And Scripture says you're supposed to. Yet, why aren't you? What is in your way? What are you thinking? What are you doing? What are the choices that you're making that are more of a priority than God?
You know, I've got over here Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12.
There's somebody named Titus?
Yep, Titus. And it says this, you're going to like this. It says, for the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward or appeared for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. Well, you could describe this as the wonderful act that Christ did for us in taking our sin, rising from the dead, being seated on heaven on high, and becoming the sacrifice for our freedom, okay? Now, it goes on to say, it, grace, has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. Well, if you just took all that and tried to regurgitate that, you'd find yourself going, oh my gosh, that seems so difficult to be so precise in all those areas. But I want to share something with you. The grace of God is not just the finished work of Christ, it's the ongoing enhancement and influence of that work. So here's what it's really saying. The more you experience God's grace in any and everything, the more you continue to enjoy the presence of God in your life. And the enjoyment of grace is what will train you. The enjoyment of having testimonies is what trains you. It's what causes you to renounce ungodliness. It's what causes you to say no to worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. All of that verse comes from enjoying the wonder of having grace with you all the time. I shared in my Facebook, yes, it was the ministry Facebook page. I wrote something last night and posted a little, probably about a paragraph worth. And in there, I made the statement about the snow that's taken place up in the north, and just because I was up in Wisconsin. I mean, it's super cold up there. I'm thankful to be here in Tulsa. Today, it got up to about 55, 56 degrees, something like that, I think, we were at. And even though there was a wind blowing, it didn't feel that warm. It still was a nice day compared to about 18 degrees or so in Wisconsin. Well, my point is, being mindful of the snow, if you could use your imagination of what it's like to make a snowball, especially with snow that's a little bit damp where it just really packs in real well, take it to the top of a hill. What's the matter?
Did you just talk
snow,
about...
Wet snow.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about yellow snow, and I was going to say,
oh, no,
he's talking about yellow snow?
His eyes were all squinty at me like I did something really wrong. So, no, I just meant, you know how snow, if you get it the right texture, if just a little bit of moisture in it, it really makes some great snowballs. Anyhow, roll that thing down a hill, and it not only picks up speed, but it gains size. Well, folks, we ought to be, and I'm starting to experience this myself, greater speed, greater size in my relationship with God, where things, the momentum is starting to really pick up. What is the momentum? It's this verse right here. The more I see grace, the more I enjoy grace, the more it becomes a part of my feelings and my emotions. BJ went through that earlier. It's the thoughts that come from those feelings and emotions, and then you start doing grace deeds that give you experiences and testimonies. This becomes a new way of life, and it's the Christ-centered life. And it'll help you to let go of whatever seems to be taking your time and your thoughts.
Let go! Let go! All right, folks. It's time for a little physical activity. Get up, stretch, move, walk around, pet the cat, play with the dog, run into the kitchen, get a quick snack. Stay up late, even though it's a school night. Call in sick to work.
You can't tell them to do all that.
What? Why not? Come on, folks. Stomp your feet, move around a little bit, and relax. You know, having a relationship with Christ is not supposed to be like a dental appointment. It's supposed to be fun and glorious and be the best time of your life.
Yeah, that's right.
But so many times, it's misrepresented to for you to be still and to dress nice and be respectful and quiet and just sit back and listen and not have fun. Well, I'm here to tell you that's wrong. Anybody that takes one loaf of bread and turns it into a whole bakery, anybody that turns water into wine, now that's a party in person. They want you to eat a lot, drink a lot, and to have fun.
It's good.
What are you doing over there?
Preparing myself for the next thing I'm going to say. I've got a real good one here.
Do you? Does that have anything to do with Jesus?
Just a little bit.
Well, that'd be kind of nice. What do you think of the show tonight?
It's good. I'm enjoying this music for a second, too.
Are you?
Yeah, I've kind of gotten used to this little seventh inning stretch. Isn't that what they call it in baseball?
Yep. Yeah, but we don't have hot dogs or peanuts or cotton candy. What else do they serve at ballparks besides soda pop and beer? Ice cream? Do they have ice cream bars?
Yeah.
At baseball games?
Yeah. You know, I'm amazed at professional sports anymore. Inside, not what they're bringing you outwardly, but inside, they've got all kinds of stuff that's amazing.
Really?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I went to a hockey game, and they had prime rib sandwiches.
Really?
With enough prime rib to probably fill a plate on a sandwich. It was awesome.
Oh, the music's over.
Oh, yeah. Kind of takes away from the atmosphere.
It does. Now we got to talk about Jesus
again.
Okay.
Well, I'll go to a verse of scripture, see if that helps everybody. Over in Philippians 3 and verse 7 in the Message Bible, I think you'll like this. Boy, it really kind of fits. It's nice when it does. It says, the very credentials, Paul's talking now, these people are waving around as something special. I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus, my master, firsthand, everything I thought I had going for me is insignificant dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally and experience His resurrection power, be a partner in His suffering, and go all the way with Him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
It is. Hey, I got a message on Facebook from little Chucky Abernathy.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. He says, "You make me laugh. I really do enjoy the show."
Good. Good.
School night. School night for Chuck Abernathy. School night.
Yep.
So, you know, jammies on, homework done, lunch packed. Did you take a lunch to school?
Yes.
Did you?
Yeah, my mother always made sandwiches. They were always so amazingly healthy, and I always looked at everybody else who had the ho-hos and ding-dongs, and I never had those, and thought, I wish I could have one.
I traded.
Yeah, I would trade sometimes.
Like, I would go to school with an entire box of ho-hos or ding-dongs, and I would trade for things. Like, you know, like every once in a while, somebody would have a real good sandwich or like a thermos full of soup or something. You know, and I'd like trade, or I'd just eat my box of ho-hos, ding-dongs, snowballs.
Yeah, I didn't like snowballs.
You know, Hostess closed down, and then another company bought Hostess, and they reopened.
Hmm.
And you know what? It's not the same.
I haven't tried it.
Yeah, you know, they got like chocolate-filled Twinkies now, and it's strawberry, and you know, it's just...
Do you remember back then how you could get, I mean, how cheap it was to get a piece of pizza or a sandwich or even a lunch back then? I mean, it's only a buck or maybe even less than a dollar for a piece of pizza.
We were going down the interstate.
In fact, I think it was 50 cents.
We were going down the interstate and somebody had hit a hog with their car. And the car was really mashed up. And the pig, you know, was dead. And so we gave them a lift to town, and they wanted to repay me and my grandfather. They took us to McDonald's.
Right.
And cheeseburgers were 35 cents. And after we dropped them off, my grandfather, he says, "Well, what'd you think of that?" And I go, "Well, that's not like grandmother's cheeseburgers." and he says, "No." But I remember McDonald's cheeseburgers at 35 cents. I remember gas wars. I remember going to town in Grandpa's truck, and gas was 17 cents a gallon.
See, the lowest I remember is 29 cents. But I'm on the East Coast, though. Where were you?
Midwest.
See, there's a difference, definitely.
Cornfields, soybean, cattle, hogs, popcorn, fireflies.
Hey, anybody out there, you're listening? If you remember less than 17 cents, write us in, text us. The lowest that you remember,
like
gas.
Hey, if anybody's listening. No, Jim, there's nobody listening. It's just me, you, the dog, the barn cats, the horses.
Well, sometimes we actually feel like that.
You know, we have no idea what Ranger's text was. Nobody has said.
Yeah, somebody's going to have
other
to
than
let
just,
us know.
You know, somebody that. Folks, if you want to text the show, there's plenty of time. The way you text the show is the first word that you have to type in your text is the word grace. It's the key word with the texting company. Type the word grace, then your comment or question. And when you press the send button, it's just 69302. The email address is the name of the show, The Abiding Presence, at G. The letter G, gmail.com.
Hey, I'm going to read something to you, and then we got to make sure we don't forget about the library. But I want to get your thoughts on it, because you probably haven't heard me read this verse before. It says in Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I'm going to go over to the Message Bible and see how that one reads. And it says, among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Doesn't that seem like that fits a little bit tonight and what we're talking about?
Yep, read that again.
Well, in the Message it says, among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good or crucified. And the King James says that you crucify the flesh with its passions and its lusts if you're of Christ. In other words, I'm just seeing here in the Scripture, for the sake of the people continuing to see what we're talking about, there definitely is a all-in to Christ and a letting go of the world and the flesh. We've said that for years, but along this particular topic, I think that it's real good to be mindful of this because we're asking folks, what is it that seems to have the greatest value in your life? What is of most importance in your life? If you were to make a list of what was most important in your life, where would God be on that list? And not just putting him at the top because you'd like to think that that's where he is. If you were to evaluate how you do your life, would God be at the top? Or would he be somewhere else as far as your time and your value?
I think one of the hardest things is when people try to justify mortgage payments and jobs, car payments, putting food on the table as a priority, because that's a tough thing to acknowledge that isn't important.
Right.
Even though Scripture says what? Don't worry about
tomorrow, your food, your clothing.
We got an email that came in a minute ago. It says, Jim, Ranger, and BJ, our weekends are now officially Tuesday and Wednesday at our house. The radio show on Tuesdays and the library on Wednesday. We don't need Saturday and Sunday anymore. Ha, ha, ha. This is Mulligan Tim.
Well, that's a nice comment.
It is. Then we got one here that says, so how do you know if you're all in versus halfway in? Well, that's easy. Efficiency of your prayers, are they answered? Are you literally having face-to-face conversation with Christ? Is Christ as real as you seeing yourself in the mirror? Got another email here that says, in the transition, a process... Let's see, is the transition a process or a moment? Well, it's kind of both.
Really. Talking about getting all in. Well, yeah. I think it's both too, but I'll just say from my experience, it is both. What I seem to have more of is the progression of it. And that has to do with learning to let go of everything. And that part is a process only because there's things I don't know that I'm attached to, that I've learned to be attached to through religion for many, many, many years that were a part of everything everybody else did and no one got the prayers answered. So I'm learning. And that's why I shared what I did earlier. You know, I have wonderful moments and seemingly, if you will, little seasons where I just realized, my goodness, I'm making some great progress. And it gets exciting.
Yeah. We talked before the show about how one of the mistakes that people make is they feel that if someone has progress and someone's prayers are being answered and they're enjoying grace, that all you need to do is do what they're doing. And that's not what a relationship with Christ is about. Because it's not about where you end up. It's about the journey that you take and how far you go. It's about having a relationship, about humbling yourself, repenting,
about truly giving yourself up to Christ and saying, okay, you're my dad, I'm a kid, and I'd rather go to heaven than end up in hell, and I understand my priorities have not really been the best in to allow me to enjoy grace and to spend time with the Holy Spirit. You can't have those kind of thoughts or results if you're concerned or worried about copying or mimicking somebody else's path to God. That's a shortcut that the world has taught us. Don't look at a map. Don't learn how to get there. Just punch it into GPS. I don't have time to go to that movie. Just give me the highlights. I don't have time to, so just tell me what happened. I can't go. Just bring me some leftovers. We're all about speed and quickness. And we're so busy going in a million different directions at the same time, it's very hard for all of us now to really understand what all in really means. To really, truly just relax and not do anything, but yet just succumb to grace. Let it happen.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being outside when it starts to rain. It's summer. It's like 80 degrees. You've got nowhere to be. You're not hungry. You don't have to go to the bathroom. All your bills are paid. And it's just a nice, gentle summer rain. It's kind of warm. You don't get hot. You don't get cold. You're literally just getting wet. But yet your first response is to what? Run to get in out of the rain because you're going to get soaking wet. But once you just stand your ground, and relax and enjoy the feeling of the breeze and the rain and how fun it is just to stand out there and not let a summer's rain bother you. All of a sudden you enjoy it and you realize that worrying was part of the problem. It took you away from enjoying what is perfectly natural to be outside and get a little rain on you.
Hmm.
That's what a relationship with Christ is like. Somebody can't do that for you. Somebody can't tell you about it. And they can't stand in the rain for you.
Hmm.
And they can't force you to be out there.
Yeah.
You have to make a conscious choice not to run and hide from the rain.
Yeah.
And you have to enjoy it and accept the fact that you've made that decision and make it a priority to look for the rain. And to embrace it when it occurs.
Yeah.
I just made all that up.
Yeah, it's good.
Did it work?
Yeah, it did. I'm going to relate something over here in Scripture. Paul was over in Athens, and he was preaching, and there's something called the Areopagus, which was just this big outdoor, big, huge amphitheater. All the Greeks, the Stoic philosophers would come. And you remember the verses over there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 where Paul talks about that God takes the things that are weak to confound the things that are strong, the things that are base to confound the things that abound. You know, in other words, it's not about earthly knowledge, strength, and wisdom. It's about something that comes from a spiritual connection with Christ. Well, Paul's over there preaching, and it says, after he got done, in verse 32, at that phrase, raising from the dead, the listeners split. Some laughed at him and walked off making jokes, and others said, let's do this again. We want to hear more. But that was it for the day, and Paul left. This is the only place where Paul didn't have enough people put together. Or let's just say it this way. It's the only place where Paul had failure, where he wasn't able to start a church, establish a work in this place. Well, one of the reasons was the people already had a set way of thinking. They were coming together to hear something philosophically. They weren't coming for the sake of their hearts being changed. They were coming to argue. They were coming just to listen to someone's good argument, but not for the sake of being changed. And when it comes for us, to us, for the things that we're talking about here tonight, there has to be an open heart and an open mind, or you'll miss the part where God really can do amazing things in your life, and that's where change comes. Change comes where you're not only desirous for change, but you're willing to be wrong, and your heart is open, and your mind is open, and it doesn't really matter what it is that you need to push aside, you're going to find God. That's the hungry. Jesus talked about it. He said, if you're hungry, you will be filled. So there's something about being so hungry that you really miss all the stuff that's on the side. Literally, it becomes peripheral to you, and you're just locked in on Christ. This is where we're actually endeavoring to head, all of us.
Somebody sent an email 4 minutes ago. It said, Chris sent it. It says, so, BJ, how do you let go of horses, but at the same time now spend more time with horses than ever? I let go of horses, and I spend three times as much time with horses. The only difference is now the guys are with me. And so I go everywhere with the guys. I've never owned a pair of tennis shoes or flip-flops or sandals. I buy one pair of shoes and I wear them until they're worn out, and then I go buy another pair of shoes. I only have one pair of boots. The only difference between work and dress is if I stop at a gas station and hose them off or something with water. But I go everywhere with grace. Grace goes with me. I go with grace. And so, and it enhances everything. Because once you have the Lord in your heart, and once you're enjoying grace, you appreciate more, and you're grateful for it. And since you appreciate it, and you're grateful for it, and you're enjoying it with grace, why wouldn't God make sure you have more of it?
Mm-hmm.
And that you spend more time doing that, because you're making wise choices. For lack of a better word, you're making godly choices. You're making Christian choices. You're turning your back on the world. You're turning your back on the flesh. So why would there not afford you more pleasantries, more wonders? And then it just builds, and it builds, and it builds, like what Jim said about a snowball.
I wanted to make mention right now of the library, that on Wednesday night, tomorrow night, I'll be at the Hardesty Library here in town. It's around 93rd and Memorial for those of you that are around town. We more than welcome you to come. But for those of you that are not in town, it's live streamed. And so at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time until 8 o'clock, it's just an hour. I'll be ministering there at the library, and we'll be talking about some wonderful things that have to do with the things that we talk about here on the ranch. And so we certainly join you to come. It's a real good time, and the live stream is working. So we'll see, hopefully, some of you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Well, for those of you that are listening tonight, and then for all of you that may listen later on the archives, we certainly here at the ranch trust that you're taking not only these thoughts and enjoying them as information, but most importantly, that you look forward on a regular basis to doing something with these thoughts from Scripture, where you're living and experiencing God's grace, where literally there's a joy about your life that hasn't been there before, because God's becoming real to you, and you realize He's not just somebody you hope would be there. He's someone that's with you at all times. So my prayer is that your eyes would be opened, that you'd see God so real, that you wouldn't be tempted, you wouldn't be moved to think, to have feelings about anything else that would be first place in your life. But you could get all the way in and experience God, and literally like that snowball, just begin to move forward, have great momentum, and experience God more each and every day. That's my prayer for you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, what'd you think? Think you did any good tonight?
Well, I think we got our point across, and I think we always do. Some of them are similar to one another, but I think they're all good because they touch on areas of our lives and people's lives where it's very easy to revert back to the way that you've done things before.
Found out what the text message was, what okay. Ranger
yeah.
says, I ate one mouse,
uh-oh.
Two bugs,
oh no,
chased a rabbit,
oh.
and scared coyotes off the ranch.
Well, she was busy.
I had a blessed day, Ranger. That's what she said.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, she ate a mouse, two bugs, chased a rabbit, scared off a couple of coyotes, and she's had a blessed day. That was her text
wow.
message.
Wow.
Ranger, I can't believe that was your... No wonder she's... Look at her. She's laying down looking up at me, saying, yeah, get your own mice and bugs.
She's usually up and ready to go right now. Maybe she's not
well, she
that
might
hungry.
Be. I thought we had a good show.
Yeah, I did too. I did too.
Okay, folks, tomorrow night, Wednesday, Hardesty Library. Check out the Jim Huckaday Ministry Facebook page if you'd like to participate. Also, it'll take me about 15 minutes to get tonight's show recorded and up and streaming, and then it'll stream 24 hours, 7 days a week until next Tuesday night's live show. There won't be dead air. Last week's show will start streaming as soon as we say goodnight. Welcome to all the new listeners out there. Thanks for all the emails and text messages. And if you send something to the show, the P.O. Box, send us an email. Give us a heads up so that we'll check it. Take care of yourselves and your pets. I thought we had a good show.
I did too.
And remember, dog spell backwards. What's dog spelled backwards?
What is it?
What is it? She always knows. She always wakes up. Good night,
girl,
everybody.
Ranger. Good night, everyone.
Good girl, Ranger.